Welcome to Ray and Tay today in Super Bowl Friday.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay, Eric Taylor, and I am very hyped up for a fantastic football, Super Bowl, Hall of Fame, Ray and Tay Awards show. Oh man, I'm excited. So listen, you want to join us on the ride, the adventure, you can call in at 718-664-9098. Please hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. You can also check us out at rayandtaytoday.com. We've got a lot of interactive things on the site, poll questions, photos, everything. And then you can always tweet at us and like us at Facebook, and that's also at rayandtaytoday, R-A-E-A-N-D-T-A-Y today. So, Ray, what are we talking about today, man?
Well, in two words, Super Bowl. But we do have a full show for you, ladies and gentlemen, so we've got a lot going on beyond the Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl will be the focus, so there'll be a heavy NFL bent to this show. But as we always do, we'll bring you the breaking news. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the NFL that's not Super Bowl related. We will talk some NBA, a little NCAA basketball, big matchup this weekend, number one versus number three. So we'll do that quickly. And then we'll get to the Hall of Fame class. So this weekend, the Hall of Fame, the 2013 class, will be inducted or announced, and they'll be inducted in the summer. And Ray and Tay will bring you our, who we believe should be the Hall of Fame class of 2013. And after that, we'll go through the Ray and Tay Awards, see who you, the viewers and listeners, decided should be the Big Five, so that's Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and MVP in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then we'll get to it. We'll get our Super Bowl preview. We'll talk and get you ready and get you hyped up for this game. If you don't know, Sunday, 6:30, Super Bowl. See you there. So let's get into it. Let's talk some breaking news.
Well, listen, let's go to the round ball. And, man, it looks like the Celtics are just going to go through it this year. Sellinger is to undergo back surgery. And they just lost Rondo with the ACL. And, you know, I don't know what Ainge is going to do now. But, you know, it's one of the poll questions on our site. After Rondo being injured, should they do nothing or should they make a trade? And then now you throw this in and you just wonder between, you know, having Sellinger out, who's been young, and he helps give, you know, relief and break to Garnett and in rotation with Bass, will the Celtics make a move? So we'll see about that. But I thought that was pretty disheartening to see. And it also seems like there's some issues, Ray, that maybe you could tell us about. What's going on? Billy Hunter, who heads up the Players Association, is on a paid leave of absence. That's not too good, huh?
Yeah, that's not really a good look. He's been the head of the union there, the players' union, since 1996. And
yeah,
he just renewed his contract a couple years ago, and his contract was set to expire in either 2015 or 2017. So a little bit surprising now that he's been relieved of his duties and put on leave. So apparently something went awry, and Derek Fisher came out with some pretty harsh words against him, basically saying that change had to be made. So they did, and, you know, good luck to all involved. And
we'll definitely see what happens with that. Now, also, it's actually Ainge is quoted as saying is that the Celtics are open for a trade offer, so that should be interesting. Our
they
boy,
have nothing
Dwight,
to trade.
Well, listen. Somebody might, you know, and they called up Fab Mello to help out, you know, from the D League. So we'll see what happens with that. Matt Barnes got suspended for a game. And Dwight Howard, got hurt, you know, at the Lakers-Suns game, which I was at. We have to talk about, I might as well just talk about it right now. I mean, I was, my son and I were at the Suns-Laker game the other night. The Suns are definitely, it's a, you know, U.S. Airways Arena. It's nice. They entertain you well. It was exciting. They were down about 13 points, had a storming comeback led by my man. I was screaming out, "Be easy, Michael Beasley, yo."
Michael Beasley.
Yo, 27 points, right?
He's great when
Did you watch the whole game, or did you catch all of it?
I watched the second half, and he's great when he's great, and when he's not, he drives you nuts.
I got to tell you, though, Gortat could not be stopped by Lakers, whether it was Howard or whether it was Gasol. Him and Skilda played well. Dragic did a little something, but it was Beasley to the left, Beasley to the right. You know, I just think, you know, Howard, he's listed as day-to-day, but the Lakers were just
Lakers
guessing they
won. Lakers had a 9-point lead, right? A 13-point lead with 9 minutes to go.
Yep, 9 minutes to go. And I'm telling you, when they came, the Suns just defensive stop after defensive stop, they really stepped it up and won by six. It was a nice win, 92-96.
How was the tribute to Nash? And
the
video,
they did a video tribute. Number one, when he came out, right, they were clapping and cheering for him when they announced him. But then when they did the video tribute, it was so classy, and the Phoenix Suns did a great job, and it was just really classy. And I didn't get to tell you this off air, but I'm going to get to go in 2 weeks to the Suns Stadium and go for a little tour of the stadium, and I'll take some pictures for Ray and Tay. I'll be down on the court. You know, they want to court me as a Suns fan to see if I, you know, might want to get some season tickets. I'll think about that with the Phoenix Suns. So hopefully my guy there, TJ, is listening to the show. I told him about our show, so he was really interested. So I give the Phoenix Suns a lot of props and credit, and Alvin Adams and Rachel there. They're a class organization, and they're looking to possibly trade for Josh Smith. So we'll see what happens with the Phoenix Suns and that and everything that's going on. But it's a great arena, and I look forward to seeing the, you know, inside of and the out of the whole arena, and we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, man, they just treated Nash with the respect, and he you know, he played okay. Him and Dragic kind of went at it a little, you know, the mentor and the, you know. And
right,
kinda,
the player and his backup.
Exactly. Yeah, man. So that it was a lot of interesting things, but – you know, my son, Elijah, is a Laker fan, so he was a little upset. But you know what? I was sort of neutral, and I just enjoyed a good game and couldn't help but get pulled into the crowd, you know, just cheering for the Suns. So that was fun. And tonight the Lakers are back at it on ESPN, right, against Minnesota, and we got the Heat Pacers. So the three All-Stars against Paul George. So that should be all interesting and stuff like that. Now, on the NFL front, we got some Super Bowl news. Looks like our boy Aaron Foster does not need to have heart surgery. So
yeah, that was a little scary when they said that he had the irregular heartbeat and he might need to have a procedure on his heart. And you're thinking, wow, this kid is...
Well, see, and I'm getting conflicting reports about this. Real GM is saying that Aaron Foster expected to undergo heart procedure. So, you know, we'll stay tuned to this and see what happens. I hope that everything, you know, whatever happens, if he does or if he doesn't, I hope that, you know, it works out for him. And it looks like, you know, Roger Goodell at his State of the Union address for the NFL, the Super Bowl, I saw the press conference this morning, you know, talking about going over to London. They've got the Niners and Jaguars and the Steelers and Vikings going over there. But they also talked about that they are going to have HGH testing, you know, and which this is through the blood. So they're going to make sure that the NFL is stepping it up and testing the players to the fullest. Because right now, you can't detect deer antler velvet spray because they don't have a test for it.
What is that? We need to take a pause for a second. What do you spray?
Well, I'm
going to
tell you from the people up in the mountains, right? My dear, love of my life, my wife, Alana, was up in Colorado, so she knows about that, you know, in the mountains with the deer and the elk, and all the hunters know about it. But there's this, the deer antlers, they have this liquid, and I guess this is velvet, you know, and they put it in a spray. And even Lomas Brown admitted to having chicken fat shot into his knees. And they made
what?
It into oil. Yeah. He said it totally helped his knees while he was able to play so long for the Lions and the Giants, Lomas Brown. Yeah,
is
chicken
that considered
fat
performance
shot into
his enhancing? I mean, that's just lubrication, right? That's just
He said it was just like a lube job, and I started cracking up. I was like, yo, I need some chicken oil on my knees.
You know, this is like WD-40. You know, you go to the hardware store, you get your WD-40. But
can
what is
you?
this antler thing? What do? You spray it, and then it makes you Hercules? Like, what does it do for you?
Listen, don't mess with the deer antlers. I don't know, man, but it's just something, I guess, and it's got the IGF thing. So whatever that is, it's a banned substance. So it must be really potent. That's all you need to know. But our man, we got to give a shout-out. One of the best receivers, man. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but he was a stud. Donald Driver. To retire for the Green Bay Packers. So we definitely salute him at Ray and Tay. He's entertained us for many years, and him and Brett Favre and him and Aaron Rodgers hooked up for a lot of touchdowns, especially him and Brett Favre.
Four-time Pro Bowler, 10,000 yards, and a Super Bowl champion. That's a heck of a career for somebody that was thought of as a number three receiver in the beginning of his career, right? Nobody thought he'd step up and be a number one receiver. You know, he came in right at the end of Antonio Freeman, and then he took over and, you know, was the number one guy. And then eventually Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson came at the end of his career. But this guy, Driver, I mean, people might know him from Dancing with the Stars, and that might be the last memory of him.
Player.
But he's a baller. He is a football player.
Well, you know what's kind of weird about this whole thing? That's going to be a lot of changeover maybe in Green Bay in that roster, right? They're going to do some stuff with that offensive line. And, you know, most NFL teams do. No 2 years are a team exactly the same. But when you lose potentially a Greg Jennings and a Driver, I got to believe that that's going to affect them just a little bit. And I'm also, you know, going over leaving football, but going over in baseball – the Diamondbacks did an extension with the guy they just traded for, with Martin Prado. So I think it was like 4 years, $40 million. So that's kind of interesting. I see that.
Yeah, lock him down. And then I guess our final runaround breaking news is not really breaking news, but this weekend. We have three top 25 matchups. So starting on Saturday, we've got Ole Miss, number 16, Ole Miss, at number 4, Florida. And if you haven't seen Billy Donovan's Florida team, they're nice. They got Rosario, and they've got Young, and they've got some shooters. They've got they pressure you like Donovan's teams always do, right? These guys can play, and they're number 4 in the country.
Tough.
Don't be surprised if they're a Final Four team. And Patrick Young is just a beast down low. But that's so that's Ole Miss at Florida. And then at night is number 1 Michigan going to Assembly Hall at 9 o'clock to face number 3 Indiana. And these Big Ten matches
are
going to be fantastic, you know. And they're going to play, obviously. They'll probably play in the Big Ten championship as well. But, yeah. This is going to be a great game. Can't wait. As my man Bart Scott said, can't wait.
Well, you know what? To me, I think it might come down to Michigan's speed against Indiana's size. You know, and Yogi's going to get tested, right? Matching up against Burke, that's going to be quite a battle. And, you know, and then, of course, my man Victor. You know
how
I feel
about
Victor.
I wouldn't be surprised if – I don't know if this is too gimmicky, and I don't know if Tom Crean's going to do this, but he might be too quick. Burke might be too quick. But, you know, who are you going to put Oladipo on? Because Oladipo's your best player. He might be the best defensive player in the country. You can put Oladipo on Robinson, Hardaway, or Burke. You might not want to wear him out on Burke. So
no, I probably have him on Robinson. And then you could put maybe Wofford. I don't know where you think Wofford would stick. Maybe Yogi would be on Burke. And who's going
to
stick
Hardaway? Yeah, he'd have to be. Yogi would have to be on him just because he's that quick. But you've got the thing is, Michigan has Burke and Hardaway, Robinson, and they got the freshman from Canada, Stauskas, is nice. He sits out there and shoots like 50% from threes. He is a player, and he can take it to the rack. He's a player too. So Michigan is very potent on offense. Having said all of that, Indiana leads the country in scoring. So they can put up points too. So I actually look for this game to be a nice game in the 70s, maybe 80s. I mean, these teams can definitely both score.
It's classic. And Super Bowl weekend, you always have like a big, you know, college game, and that's what's so fun about it, right? It becomes like a whole weekend of some good sports action. It's not just Sunday. And obviously, you know, we talked about it, but you have the award show Saturday night for, you know, the NFL honors, and CBS 9 o'clock, give them the plug. So that should be entertaining. NFL Network, Rich Eisen's got his Super Bowl special tonight. So there's a lot going on, man. And, you know, the college basketball. Now, also, what's the third matchup? We got one more matchup.
Third matchup on Sunday. Now, you know, these kids are going to play their game from 2 to 4, and then they're going to run to the showers.
Yep.
And then go get their Super Bowl on. But, yeah, number 25 Marquette visits number 12 Louisville, who just 2.5 weeks ago, Louisville was number one in the country.
Poor
Louisville.
They
lost three times, and now they're 12. But they'll probably get it together and take care of Marquette. But, yeah, Louisville's another one of these up-and-down teams. But when they're playing well and they can put their trap on, and Siva and Smith, if Smith is healthy – and dang,
well,
they've
he's got to keep the rock in his hand, stop all the turnovers, and Smith has got to be more consistent with you know, he's great with the scoring, but then he's got to get to the offensive glass, and he's got to play good D. You know, Marquette, what I like about them is they got a full team. You know, it's not like one just star, you know, but they've got a nice little backcourt. They've got some slashers. You know, I still have, what's his name, too, Pressey's kid, right?
No, that's Missouri. That's Missouri.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking about Missouri.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
Marquette's
got
– I forgot the slasher, the kid.
Yeah, no, they got
three.
Some talent on that team. Look, at the end of the day, this is a nice little Big East in-conference matchup that always get. You know, it just happens to be on the Sunday of the Super Bowl, so it's going to go – you know, it's going to go under the radar.
Well,
but,
yeah, because, you know, the preview on CBS starts at, like, I think 2 o'clock. And then ESPN and NFL Network, they got previews going on from like 9 a.m. So it's, you know, you're going to have football, Super Bowl, Sunday coverage from wall to wall, which is great. Because, listen,
ready.
This is our last hurrah, right? This is it.
Yeah, I mean, we got the combine and the draft, and that's it until first week in September.
Don't. Just stop. You're gonna hurt my heart, man. Well, listen, so that should be fun and exciting. And I guess before we jump to the all the NFL talk tonight, we got the Heat-Pacers. That's a nice matchup. I think you're going to see something from the Pacers. This will be like a little test. Can they, you know, it's not easy beating the Heat, but can they sort of, you know, can they match up without Granger, and can Paul George and West and Hibbert, can they use advantage of their size? You know, can
they
sort of?
They gave the Heat all they could want in the playoffs last year.
Oh, they really did.
It took that, what was that, 41 points from Dwayne Wade to get them over the hump in that critical
game six. Yep. But that's the thing. You're going to need they need all their dogs. They don't have Granger, but let's see what Paul George can do. Let's see what he can do. I'll definitely be interested to see that one and you know, check out some of these NBA games. So let's go right to the Hall of Fame, man. Let's talk about it. Let's go over who we think is going to make it, and then we can talk about maybe why. So why don't you run down your list first of your Hall of Fame class of 2013.
All right. Well, first, let's just say the rules, that you need to put in 4 and not more than 7, and then the Veterans Committee gets to choose 1 old-timer. So there's 15 guys on the ballot.
No, 2 old-timers can make it, though.
2 old-timers can make it, sorry.
You got to at least have 1, minimum.
Yep. Yeah. And 15 guys are on the ballot for the new guys, and there are 4 new guys that entered that ballot, right? So that was the 2 linemen, Ogden and Larry Allen, and also the 2 defensive tackles, defensive end, Warren Sapp and Strahan.
Mm-hmm.
So, my guys, my 2013, drumroll please, NFL Hall of Famer. thank you.
Ray, select.
Number 1, Larry Allen. I'll go through why, but I'll say Larry Allen, Chris Carter, Tim Brown, Charles Haley, Bill Parcells, and Art Modell. So the only new guy, the only first-timer I let in was Larry Allen because he was just outstanding. I mean, Jonathan Ogden was excellent.
That's your six.
That's my six.
You pick
six,
and then the old-timer, you got to pick one.
Yeah. So you know what? I don't really know these old-timers, so I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and go with Dave Robinson, the linebacker.
Yeah.
I'm going with Big Dave.
You go with Big Dave? All right. Well, Tay, I'm going to go old guys first. My little Hall of Fame announcement. I'm going with defensive lineman Curly Cope as my old senior guy.
Go ahead, Curly.
And, yeah, I got to go with Curly. I like the name, too. But when I look at these guys, just like you, I didn't go seven. I don't think the committee will do that. I'm going six. My six, so this is the non-players first. I'm going to go ahead and mention RIP, Art Modell. His Ravens are in the Super Bowl, and I think it's time to put Art Modell in the game. I have Bill Parcells, and then with the players, I've got Warren Sapp, who's a first-time guy, Larry Allen, a first-time guy, Jonathan Ogden, first-time guy. That's five. And then I've got Chris Carter. He just catches touchdowns. But he does a lot more. We all know that.
1,100
catches.
Exactly.
So that's my six. I left off, you know, Strahan and Tim Brown and Bettis. And, you know, I'm a Steeler fan, but I got to be honest. I think Buss is a Hall of Famer. I think he's just going to have to wait another year or so. But, you know, and I feel like Andre Reed and these guys, you know, they can make it too. So now let's talk about these guys. I mean, obviously we have some of the same. What? Let me ask you this. Why Tim Brown?
So Tim Brown, so here's my problem. And I use the baseball analogy of Don Sutton. And the baseball analogy is if you win 300 games, you should be a Hall of Famer. And to me, Don Sutton won 15 games a year for 20 years, and that's how he got the 300 wins. So is he really a Hall of Famer? I don't know. I mean, technically he is. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So the question is Tim Brown Don Sutton, or is he an outstanding receiver who dominated his position? Because I really do think that we need to have a high standard for the Hall of Fame, and you need to dominate your position. So the reason I put Tim Brown in was because he was consistently excellent. Not only did he catch passes and was he a receiver that you really needed to know where he was, but he also played special teams in the beginning of his career. And he was a very, very productive punt returner. So
yeah.
If he was on the fence, the punt returner put him over the fence. But I just think that consistency and consistent excellence was what Tim Brown was all about. So he wasn't Don Sutton winning the equivalent of 15 games. I thought Tim Brown won 18 to 20 games, if you're going to use a baseball analogy. But he was always around or above 1,000 yards receiving. He always led his team in catches, was a critical component, stayed with one team, was on the Raiders his whole career, was always a threat, ran all the routes, had great hands, did everything you wanted as a wide receiver. Now, is he a top five wide receiver? Probably not.
No.
But is he in the next tier? You know, 5 to 15? Probably. So if a guy is one of the 10 or 15 best at his position of all time, then he needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he could easily lose that spot with a lot of the talented guys that are playing now. That
true, but right
retired now
he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
I could see where you say that, and I don't have a problem with Tim Brown, you know, being in. I just didn't put him in this year. I definitely think, also think he's a class act as well. I definitely like Tim Brown. So for me, I'm gonna pick a guy. I got to go with Sapp, and to me, I'll tell you, I just thought Sapp to me, and it has nothing to do with not picking Strahan. It's just more about Warren. Anytime I saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play, and I think anytime his opponents played against him, you feared, obviously, Sapp, and of course Derek Brooks. Even Sapp said Derek Brooks is the best player on their team, on their defense. But Sapp was definitely, if Derek's one, then Sapp was 1A. I mean, the defensive tackle, he got to the quarterback, but I think what I like about his, you know, his dominance, it wasn't just, you know, the Pro Bowls, and he, you know, got Defensive Player of the Year, won the Super Bowl, but I think he controlled the energy and really controlled the line of scrimmage. Had to be double teamed, freed up some, you know, freed up so the linebackers could get in and get tackles. But he was just dominant to me. I mean, I just think Sapp is one of the best to ever do it. And I don't even think it's a question. You know what I mean?
You know, it's
to me,
funny because even though we had some differences of opinion, it's interesting that in this class, Sapp and Strahan are together because we talked about this off air. Sapp and Strahan both have a very similar, when you step back at the 10,000-foot level, a very similar career synopses, right? They both
mm-hmm.
went to 7 Pro Bowls. They were both Super Bowl champions one
yeah.
time, and they were
one
both
time.
Defensive players of the year. So from their different positions, right, one was a defensive end, one was a defensive tackle, they both had excellent results. Now, obviously, Strahan is going to have more sacks. He has 141 sacks. But it's interesting that those two are connected at the hip, and they come in at the same time. So I actually think they're both going to get in together.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's going to be this
year. Do you think
they'll
both make it next year? Because you didn't pick either one this year, right?
Probably. Yeah, I didn't pick either one because what I did was
I split them.
I gave Tim Brown a little bit of love, and I also gave Charles Haley a little bit of love. So if you ask me, is Charles Haley better than Michael Strahan or Warren Sapp, it's hard for me to say yes. But this guy needs to be in the Hall of Fame because
clearly. Yeah.
Charles Haley is the only player to have materially contributed and played in 5 Super Bowls, and he won all 5.
Yeah,
and
five
the
and
guy was a force. Now, he was only, quote-unquote, a 5-time Pro Bowler as opposed to Sapp and Strahan, who were 7-time Pro Bowlers, and they were each Defensive Player of the Year. So,
yeah, because he didn't have gaudy numbers, but he was feared and he was effective.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, to me,
Charles
he
Haley
shaped
was.
The game, especially in this era that started to become the quarterback's era, the passing era, a rush end like Charles Haley, who was an integral part, again, I say integral part of 5 Super Bowls on the defensive side of the football. That's got to mean something. If he didn't have those 5 Super Bowls, I'd say the argument is weaker, but because he does and because he was an important cog in those defenses, I went with it.
But it's so funny, though, because right, he did it with, like, these dominating teams, the Cowboys and Niners.
True, but
you
he
know,
still
I mean,
was,
not to not to
critical.
Knock him, but, I mean, they were great teams.
They were.
You know what I mean? They were really great teams. It's listen, I got to also go with one other guy. Jonathan Ogden. Now, he came in the same year as Ray. It was Ray Lewis. And, you know, his career didn't last quite as long, not 17 years, but obviously it was about a 13-year career. And Ogden was the left tackle that, you know, started the Ravens franchise, won a Super Bowl. He, you know, was dominating. I mean, I think, you know, he helped lead Jamal
Pro
Lewis.
Bowler.
Yeah, I mean, not only 11-time Pro Bowler, but he helped lead Jamal Lewis to the 2,000-yard season.
Sure.
You know, and I think any offensive lineman loves to, you know, brag about that and you know, kept Dilfer up, you know, kept some of their quarterbacks alive that, you know, weren't so great. I think, you know, he would even be more revered if he didn't come from such a defensive team, you know. The Ravens' defense in the 2000s, from 2000 to 2020, was just so, you know, 2010, 12, such a dominant, you know, factor that you didn't always recognize the other side of the ball. But Jonathan Ogden, man, he was a pillar in this franchise and, you know, was their first-round pick. And when they drafted Ray Lewis, they got him later on, I think 27, and Jonathan Ogden, they drafted him, you know, right there early. So Was he a number one pick? I think he was a number one pick.
Yeah, sure. He was
one, and Ray Lewis was 26.
He came out of UCLA. He was a number four pick overall. He was in 96.
Yeah, oh, number four. Okay, yeah, because I didn't think he was number one. But see, and then Ray Lewis was like 27 or 23? He was down 20s there.
20s in that round, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's why, oh my gosh, Ozzie Newsome, right? We need to do a show just on best GMs in the NFL, and Ozzie Newsome is definitely up there. You know, look at the guys he's drafted. So this is a great Hall of Fame class. I think, you know, maybe they shock both of us, right? And maybe they take seven.
They might. And, you know, it's funny because everything I said about Sapp and Strahan, you might be able to say for Ogden and Allen. I mean, those two might just be connected at the hip, and either they both go in or they both don't. And because there are four of them that you could probably group together, ironically enough, I think the offensive linemen were slightly more dominant than the defensive linemen. So I actually think that Ogden and if you had to put a, you know, I have to put a gun to my head, I would take Ogden and Allen over Sapp and Strahan. So I think they dominated their positions slightly more than those two did on defense.
Right, and that's why I took the two of them. Yeah, I really think that they are going to be together and they're both be in the Hall of Fame. Whatever it is, it's going to be a good Hall of Fame. I mean, listen, they can wind up taking all four of them, right? And maybe they only split with Parcells and Modell. Maybe take one of them and maybe go for Chris Carter and surprise us with somebody else. It's going to be interesting. I believe they announced it on NFL Network at 5 p.m. on Saturday or 5:30. I'm not sure, so you guys can, you know, check your local listings for that. Either way, it's going to be exciting, and we'll see how Rante did. We'll see out of our both picking six how many we get right. And remember, you've got Dave and I've got Curly out of the old guys. So listen, let's go to the Rante Awards, and let's, you know, thank our fans first for voting on, you know, our Facebook page of Rante. And obviously now, you know, when we have things, you'll be able to vote on RayandTayToday.com. But, you know, we thank, you know, different listeners and people, you know, voting and stuff like that. So I guess we'll save MVP for last. So Rookie of the Year was pretty close, but we tallied all the votes, and it looks like, you know, even with our votes included, because Ray and I both voted, RG3. Is the Rookie of the Year.
The third.
For the Ray and Tay Awards. Yes, Robert Griffin III, man. Look, you can argue whatever. I mean, you know, I think Luck is someone that could, you know, has a great argument for this award. And we'll see what happens. I mean, his team was 2-14. You know, RG3 had a big turnaround. Some people say he had a better team. I don't think the Redskins were that great, you know, last year. They had a good defense. I think last year they were, what, 7-9 or 6-10? But
6-10.
Yeah, RG3 really, you know, he led the team to the playoffs, and they just went up against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks and took an L, right? I mean, look, if we voted today, maybe we'd all vote for Russell Wilson.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's what I was about to say. I personally voted for Luck because I think you go into a 2-14 team and you've got the black cloud of Peyton Manning and how he left, and it was the right thing to do for all parties, so I'm not saying anybody was in the wrong, but just the way it was handled and it was dragged out and whatever, and he had the weight of the world coming in, and you know, I thought he just did a wonderful job. 10-6, went to the playoffs. Not taking anything away from RG3.
And they asked him to do so much more, right? Because he had to pass so
he didn't
so
have
much
Alfred
more.
Morris. Exactly. And he didn't have that defense that the
and
Redskins
Lynch.
Had.
He didn't have Morris or Lynch or a great defense.
And what's
and
your
he played
point
with Fleener
did?
And Allen and T.Y. Hilton. Three rookies.
More rookies.
Four,
yeah,
and Ballard, four rookies.
Right. So other than Reggie Wayne, he really didn't have anybody really fantastic that he could bank on. But the funny thing is, when we look back at this year, if you really, really think about it and you add the playoffs into the mix, Russell Wilson had the best rookie year. So
Russell, last
this is
name
a year,
Wilson. Yeah.
This is a year that you can't be mad if any of those three guys and a half a notch below them is Alfred Morris, who runs for, you know, almost 1,600 yards and sets the Washington Redskins record. But just the three of them, the three quarterbacks, so Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson, any of those three guys on
right.
any other year is a very, very, very exceptional.
And wait, it's so funny, both the running backs, not just Morris, Doug Martin. What about the season Doug had?
Oh, I forgot about Doug Fresh. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Incredible.
They're a notch below, but they're, you know, any other year, either of them could have won Rookie of the
Year.
Exactly.
So that's good for the NFL. I mean, five standout rookies, that's exciting, and I think, you know, it's promising, you know, and you got to be excited as an NFL fan to just watch these three quarterbacks, even these two running backs, and watch them, develop. I think what's fascinating, though, is at least with the Redskins, they've got the two together, right? To have Morris and RG3, you've got to be ecstatic as a Redskins fan.
Salivating in the nation's capital right now.
Oh, yeah. So let's go to Defensive Player of the Year. This one wasn't so tight, though, Ray.
No, how could it be?
J.J. Watt dominated and won this in a landslide. So, and I'm sure he will win it for the NFL Honors Awards because J.J. Watt, it's not just the sacks. It's all the tackles behind the line of scrimmage. It's just, I mean, he, you know, batting down the balls. People are practicing with tennis rackets in their hand to try to emulate what he did. The hurries. J.J. Watt took over the game. Sort of like in a way that, you know, you saw people like Reggie White dominate and Bruce Smith and, you know, other great defensive linemen over the years in the past. J.J. Watt was dominant this season.
They said he made something like 60 plays in the backfield.
Yeah.
This isn't high school. I mean, this is the NFL. So your boy Jamie Dukes on the NFL Network actually said he thinks J.J. Watt, if you take the literal interpretation of most valuable player,
that's right. He said he should be the MVP this year.
J.J. Watt was the MVP of the whole NFL. He said,
"Hey, listen, that's a great argument, right? Unfortunately, it seems like it's a quarterback award, which needs to be changed because it shouldn't be. Because, you know, listen, every position is just as important as the next." You know, and look at the dominance. I mean, where would that team be without Watt?
Sure.
You know, that's a huge. I mean, there's a lot of games that he's not only did he
especially
stop the run,
Cushing
but
went down and they had some questionable, you know, secondary
Brooke
play.
Reed was hurt for
season.
A couple of games, missed key games. So, yeah. Well, shout out to J.J. Watt. He's our for the Ray and Tay Awards. He was our Defensive Player of the Year. The fans voted in our votes. So. Now, let's talk about the coach. The coach of the year.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie.
Listen, and what can you say, right? You can go either way with this one. We'll see what the NFL does. But Bruce Arians, who took over for Chuck Strong and with the Colts, did his job as offensive coordinator and then went on to do the great job as a head coach. And people might argue he didn't coach the whole season. I totally get that. But look at what he did, 9 victories. And then Leslie Frazier, who was my personal vote, Leslie Frazier took over the Vikings, who won 3 games last year, ladies and gentlemen, had Percy Harvin out for at least half the season, their best offensive player or best receiver.
Christian Ponder was inconsistent as a quarterback.
Yeah. He was averaging barely over 100 yards a game. AP was averaging more rushing yards than his passing yards. And Leslie Frazier got this defense. He got young Harrison Smith, their young safety from Notre Dame, and all these different players to just play ball out. Jared Allen, Robinson up front, your guy, Chad Greenway. I mean, Leslie Frazier is a great young coach in this league, and I think the Vikings are on the upswing. Would you have to agree with that, you know?
Yeah, of course, and I'm glad. And Leslie Frazier seems like a really nice guy. You know, his story is very interesting, how he played for the Chicago Bears, if you remember.
That's right.
And he tore up his knee in that Super Bowl in 86.
He was on that 86 team.
Yeah, when they won. I guess it's the 85 season, 86
Super Bowl. Yeah, 85 team, 86 Super Bowl, yeah.
The Super Bowl Shuffle Bears. So it's good to see these ex-athletes come back and have some success in coaching, and especially after the awful year he had last year, because if he had another awful year like that,
he might not have
Ziggy might have fired him.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you got to give credit to some of these owners, right? Because not every owner is just like, oh, my gosh, you know, jump at the drop of a dime and fight. You know, sometimes the right move is no move. Just let the guy coach. You know, let them give him a chance to win, you know. So.
Sounds like a Pittsburgh Steeler fan talking.
Ah, yes. But you know what? That's with Cowher. With Tomlin, you didn't have to just let him coach. He came in and coached his butt off and just got you to two Super Bowls right off the bat, baby. So, you know, hey, I'm happy with my coach. I've got a great leader in Pittsburgh. So now let's go to the NFL Comeback Player of the Year for the Ray and Tay Awards. Dun, 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 dun. Run, pretty much a runaway, Peyton Manning. To me, I can't give this award to Adrian Peterson because he played last season, even though he got hurt at the end. So to me, I thought about Andre Johnson was a great comeback because he missed a lot of last year. Obviously, Jamal Charles got some votes. You know, people voted for him as well. But Peyton Manning clearly won this award, you know, by a landslide. And to me, 13-3, all the stats, 4,700 passing yards. I mean, it's Peyton Manning, man. He does it. But he lost in the playoffs, couldn't get over the hump. But we'll see what happens with the Broncos next year, because surely it wasn't Manning's fault, right?
No, it wasn't. And if that pass had been deflected and that 70-yard Hail Mary wasn't completed, you'd have Manning against Brady, and maybe if Manning wins that, we're talking about Manning now in the Super Bowl, trying to rewrite his legacy, win his second Super Bowl. So, yeah, Manning, I mean, you can't go wrong with Manning's comeback. So what does that leave us? That leaves us the most valuable player, MVP. Who you got? Who do the Ray and Tay...
The Ray and Tay Award winner for our last award for the MVP of the National Football League for the 2012 season is Adrian Peterson, AP. Kind of ran away with it. I thought it'd be really close with him and Manning, but he was pretty much clear-cut, the MVP. So congrats to Adrian Peterson. We thank the fans for voting. AP was he was incredible, man. And what can you say? 9 yards short of the record. He broke 2,000. He got his team to the playoffs, and I think that was the most impressive. That was the most impressive part of it, because, like we said, no Percy Harvin.
Christian Ponder's his quarterback.
Yeah,
nobody
inconsistent.
Else on offense to take off the load.
They had 8 and 9 in the box, Ray. 8 and 9 in the box, and he still
coming
ran
off of
like
a blown-out knee in December, Christmas Eve.
Oh, man.
And
yeah,
he said he'd be back. He said he'd be back for training camp. He said he'd be back for, you know, for first game. And he was. He's a medical mystery.
He was
mystery back
and more. So we definitely give a shout-out to AP and, you know, our awards. And, you know, listen, we thank you for our fans voting and stuff like that. Now, listen, I got a little special treat. We're about to break down our Super Bowl preview. We started previewing the other day, so we're going to get really into the quarterback and the defense and give our picks and our predictions. But first, we got a nice little treat from my alias, my other half, E-Complete, with the Super Bowl special music intro. So we'll take a little break. We'll be back in about a minute and change. Check out some flavor from E-Complete for Ray and Tay today. Super Bowl,
welcome,
baby,
to Ray and Tay today.
Friday, Super Bowl Sunday, baby. San Francisco 49ers,
Super Bowl 47
versus Baltimore Ravens. E-Complete, Ray Lewis's last game, but it's sure not mine.
Ray and Tay.
I wanna hit back and shine. Play some football, but I played it in my mind. Hut, hut, hike, I can dunk it like Mike, but not like Mike Vick. He's not the top pick. We got Kaepernick and Flacco playing some ball. Ray Lewis, Patrick Willis for y'all. Linebackers in the game and running backs too. Got Frank Gore and Ray Rice running at you. Got crazy strong safety from Ed Reed to Ghostin. Or even Whitmore, you know you're just coasting. Yes, yo Terps, we're in the game. Vernon Davis, Torrey Smith, they're in the Hall of Fame. What's the top pick? Who you think's gonna win? We got the hardballs, the brothers with the grin. A little bit of things to choose, you get the bruise. Super Bowl victory, who's the bad news? Who's the MVP? Who's gonna be the best? Check out this Sunday on CBS. Ray and Tay today, we will preview today at 6 p.m. Eastern, then it goes down that way. Woo. What?
Wow.
Yes,
oh,
baby.
He complete. I didn't even hear this. My
yeah,
first time hearing it.
And just so everybody knows, that was a straight-up freestyle one take off the top, baby.
I have to say, though, I got to give you props, but I did see you snuck in your Maryland Terps.
Yo,
and you
Terps?
Sent them to the Hall of Fame, too?
Hey, the Hall of Famers for Terps, baby.
Well, they just need to win this game. You don't need to be worried about Hall of Fame, but they just need to win you this game. Wow.
Yes,
well, good job. Love it. Love
Thanks. Keep it coming. Well, you know what? That leads us right into what we were talking about. And let's talk at the number one position on the field, the general. Joe Flacco against Colin Kaepernick. So, Ray, what are you thinking in this game, man? What is it that's going to lead either team to victory from either one of these quarterbacks?
So, Joe Flacco's been unbelievable, right? He hasn't thrown an interception,
yeah,
and
eight
he's
touchdowns.
Won all of his games on the road. And he's been the Joe Flacco that, remember, first four or five games of the year, I said Joe Flacco's the man. He's on the trajectory to really take his place among the top NFL quarterbacks, and then bad Joe Flacco showed up. And for about four
and
or five games, Joe Flacco was
completions.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So which Joe Flacco is going to show up in the Super Bowl against a stellar San Francisco defense? I actually think he'll give one away. So I think that Joe Flacco is not perfect. You know, no quarterback is, obviously.
Yeah.
But he just needs to make sure that he limits his mistakes, right? If you throw an interception on a 40-yard bomb, to, unless you throw to Ed Reed, who has a take it back to the house. I don't
be
know
careful.
That the I don't know that the Niners secondary, even though they're great, they don't have Ed Reed ability to bring it back to the house. So you know Rodgers and Whitner, you know Golson and Brown. I'm not sure they're you know they're not Ed Reed back there. But my point is, if you throw a 40-yard, you know, nine route down the field to Torrey Smith and it gets picked off, that's okay. I can live with that. You want to avoid, you know, the pick six and the little dump pass to Ray Rice that gets tipped and intercepted. So I do think Flacco will give one back. I don't think he'll be perfect this game, but he just needs to play within himself. I know he wants to be a star. I know he wants to get that contract. I know he's got, you know, big aspirations. He wants to make Drew Brees money, and obviously.
But he says all the right stuff. Give him credit, right? And he seems very just matter of fact. Nothing bothers him. Very humble. So I like that about him. Kind of stoic.
Right. And so in the beginning of his career, that was bad because people said, you know, you're a leader. So you're a leader of men. But I think what happens is to be on Ray Lewis's team, you almost have to take a step back and let Ray do his thing.
Well,
so
you're not
going to
outlead him, exactly.
No, of course. So maybe next year he'll start to be a little bit more vocal. But, you know, you are who you are, and you definitely respect the players that stay consistent and do what they did all season and do the same things for the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl and in the Super Bowl. So you can't suddenly become a rah-rah player. That's not who you
and
are.
And he won't be next year either. He's not going to change. And he even said that. He said, you know, I lead in different ways, and that's okay. You know?
So I say one turnover, make sure it doesn't kill you. Move the ball around, spread it around, be like Aaron Rodgers. Hit the open man, take what the defense gives you, especially against that stellar Niner team. So let me ask you, flip it around, and what do you think about Flacco and then compare him to Kaepernick?
Well, for me, I kind of agree with you with Flacco, and I love the cannon and all that good stuff. I think what the Niners will probably do to him is not let him get the nine route, not let him get the flies, the Hail Marys, the bombs to Smith and Jacoby Jones. They're going to sort of make him dink and dunk to Pierce and Ray, hit Pitta, hit Dixon, hit Bolden on the curls, the slants. So in that sort of realm, will there be a tip pass that gets picked off, or will he be consistent? And, you know, I think he'll probably have a good game. With Kaepernick, I think the Ravens will play very much like the Falcons. They're not going to let Kaepernick beat him with his legs. So it's going to be gore. It's going to be probably some posts, some curls, some down and ins, down and outs to Vernon Davis. And I think what the Ravens secondary's got to watch out for, as great as they are, whether it's Pollard or Reed, they got to watch, you know, cheating in to stop Gore in the running game. They got to watch this pistol and this kid pulling it back and Crabtree getting behind them and them getting burnt for 50 yards down the field. Because Kaepernick, one thing he can do is he's good with the fakes. He's good with the fake with the run and scramble out, but then he's got a cannon. I've bounced around with this game and this matchup, but I definitely think Kaepernick will – I think both guys might turn it over once, but I think they'll both play well. And, you know, so we'll see how it
Kaepernick's
all works out.
Kaepernick's also thrown a pick – to his credit, Kaepernick is cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Woo.
I mean, this guy has thrown a pick six.
Didn't faze
him. Possession of his team's, you know, playoff –
career, yeah.
And he throws a pick six in the Green Bay Packer game. Okay, no big deal.
Okay, right.
Yeah, down 17-0 in Atlanta.
Against Atlanta on the road. Okay,
on the road. Okay, that's
all
fine.
Right. let me kiss the tats.
I'll Kaepernick a little
kiss
bit.
The
yeah, kiss
on the arm,
tats.
On the biceps. Listen, it's a fascinating story, but I you know what. I don't think either quarterback is going to lose this game for either of their teams. Now, let's look at the defense before we get to giving predictions and stuff. What part – both defenses are very similar, great linebackers. They both have some big guys up front, you know, almost similar in the back end. What part of the two defenses do you think has more of an edge, if you can pick – whether it's D-line, linebackers, or secondary, from which team, which group do you think could stand out or make the difference in this game?
So I like the Niners front seven, and I know you said which group, but I'm going to group the whole front seven in there.
Okay.
I think that if the 2 weeks helped Justin Smith, and you know, hopefully they did, although he's not going to be 100% until next year.
Surgery.
But hopefully a little bit, you know, surgery, and then he'll come back. But if Justin Smith can get a little bit out of Justin Smith, that frees up Alden Smith, and what it does is it takes the pressure off those linebackers, and those linebackers, you know, Bowman and Willis are unbelievable. You know, Brooks and these guys. Now, they're going to have their hands full because Pitta and Dixon and Ray Rice are going to put them in coverage, and they're going to have to cover. So these linebackers are going to have to make tackles, and they're going to have to cover. But I think that if the guys up front, if the big uglies up front can engage the Ravens offensive line and keep them busy and keep them off that second level, keep them off the linebackers, I think that front seven in unison, but specifically those linebackers for the you know, for the Niners, are going to be a little bit younger, a little bit fresher than the Ravens. Now, the Ravens had, 87 plays in their first two games, and then they had another, you know, God knows how many plays. So the Ravens have played a lot of football in the postseason, and they're not young, right? T. Sizzle's got his whole leg thing. Ray's got his arm. Obviously, he's played on every play, every defensive play, and he's led everybody in tackles. So this is
44 in three games.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's adding up. So I think that the slight advantage goes to the linebackers of the Niners and the front seven in general of the Niners. So I like that front seven. I like the front seven to contain Flacco and to contain the running game, keep him in front of him, no big plays. Essentially, even though Flacco's a big arm, I think no big plays. Disrupt Flacco, who doesn't really love to get out of the pocket and be on the run. He can do it, but he doesn't love it. He's not Kaepernick. Kaepernick's like, okay, yeah. you want me to be out of the pocket? I'll be out of the pocket for you. You got to worry about my dual threat. So I like the front seven of the Niners a little bit more than the Ravens.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree with you. I don't know if I'm going to necessarily say the front seven. I'm just going to say the linebackers, because what I think with what Bowman and Willis can do is I think they are going to find a way to be able to be right there with Pitta and right there with Ray Rice. I think Ray Rice potentially in the screen game and then the change of pace with Pierce, that's going to be the question, to me. Can Pierce, do something to, affect this game? And then on the other side, can T. Sizzle and Ellerby with the ankle and Ray Lewis, can they handle LaMichael James and Gore? Because I think LaMichael James could wind up being a factor where he breaks one. But also, can they have the speed to stick with Davis? Or do they put Golston on Davis or Whitmer? So I think those are going to be some of the interesting elements in this game. And, we're getting closer to the end, so I'll give you my pick first, and we'll give our picks now. I think with this game, I've gone back and forth all week. I originally was thinking 21-20, then 24-21, 24-20, 26-24. But the one thing that I've realized
that's
is that...
That's your score? 26-24?
No. I was thinking
going back
scored.
And forth. Right.
I was
stop
going back
teasing
and forth.
Me. Tell me your score.
No,
Ray.
I'm teasing you, but this is where I'm going, right? The problem is these secondaries can both be had, and I think just like in these playoffs, it's been kind of high scoring, and I think there's going to be some points put up. I don't like the field goal kicker for the Niners, Akers. My pick in the beginning of the season was Niners, Texans, and Niners to win it all. And Eric Taylor is going to pick the San Francisco 49ers to enjoy the confetti.
Okay.
And my final score, 30.
Ooh. Okay.
The 49ers beat the Baltimore Ravens and tie the Pittsburgh Steelers for 6 Super Bowl victories, but are at 6-0, and it hurts my heart to say that. That's where I'm going.
Wow. All right. Well, let me Ray, first of all, apologize to anybody who listened to me during the year, because I had the Packers beating the Texans. So clearly,
that's
I don't
right,
know what
Ray.
I'm talking about.
That's all right, Ray.
But you know what? I look at this game and I say that San Francisco is a little bit better to me on both sides of the football. I think their defense is a little younger, and I like their linebackers a little bit better. And if Justin Smith were healthier, I would say definitely have a better, defensive line. Although I love Haloti Ngata, he just blows, blows lines up. So I think they're a little bit better on defense. And I think because of their explosiveness, now it's weird to say that for a quarterback that's in his 10th game, but I think they're a little bit better offensively because of this pistol and because it's 10 games into the pistol, or really a full season. I mean, Kaepernick was playing even when Alex Smith was starting. So there's not a lot of experience, not a lot of tape, not a lot of, defensive philosophy on how to beat this. So I think that actually the Niners are better on both sides of the ball, and I don't think the game is going to be that close. Believe it or not, I think the Niners are going to win 27-20, potentially even with a missed field goal in there because Akers is a little shaky. So I think they're going to
cover the spread.
Yeah, I think they're going to contain Baltimore and hold them to 20 and win their 6th Super Bowl. So 27 Niners, 20 Ravens.
Who's your MVP?
My MVP, because they'll give it to the quarterback, is Colin Kaepernick. Although I do think LaMichael James is going to have a touchdown and Frank Gore is going to have a touchdown and maybe Kaepernick throws for one and the rest is on field.
I got to give my MVP. I was going to go Davis, but I'm going to go Frank Gore. 127 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
Frank Gore.
All right, well, another great show. Big Sunday.
Look for Beyonce, killing the halftime show. Alicia Keys, National Anthem, America the Beautiful, Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson singing with the Sandy Hook Choir. So it's going to be tear-jerking, and CBS is doing a great job. So, hey.
Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll see you on the flip side. We'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, see you on Monday where we wrap it all up. Thanks for checking us out and talking sports with friends. Ray and Tay.